Why is seminary so expensive? At Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, we are committed to the reform of theological education toward meeting the needs of churches across the globe. Men of God cannot serve their churches well if they are burdened with tens of thousands of dollars in student loans from seminary. At CBTS, you can receive a robust theological education for nearly four times less than other institutions. To find out more about how you can receive an accredited theological degree at a cost that you can afford, visit cbtseminary.org.
You are listening to Particular Pilgrims, Stories from Reformed Baptist History with Commentary. I'm your host, Ron Miller, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church of Clarksville, Tennessee, and a longtime student and collector of Particular Baptist History. We're on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. Bernard Foskett came to Broadmead as the assistant to Pastor Peter Kittrell to train men for the Baptist ministry under the terms of the will of Elder Edward Terrell. This was in 1720. In 1714, the church had hired a young man named Caleb Jope, J-O-P-E, for this purpose. He had the requisite language skills, having been trained in a General Baptist Academy in nearby Trowbridge. But he seems to have been unable to get along with others, being too self-interested and self-willed. He had originally received a call to pastor the Baptist Church in Plymouth, but decided the Broadmead opportunity was better. Despite advice from older associational pastors, he went to Bristol Broadmead. It doesn't appear that he trained any students, but he did manage to upset the church in various ways. Emmanuel Gifford, the pastor at the Pathay Baptist Church in Bristol at the time, is quoted as saying, "Matters at Broadmead are worse and worse every day. Mr. Jope, I am afraid, will not remove if possibly he can avoid it, and I am sure their church state is in jeopardy, which is a very mournful circumstance. I wish it may be an effectual warning to all that none think too highly of themselves." Jope finally left in 1719, taking the pastorate of a church in Exeter. The next year, after a number of trial sermons, Broadmead called Foskett. He seems to have been the polar opposite of his predecessor, and this must have been attractive to the congregation. His life was given not to self-advancement, but in the service of the church. His regimented life, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, produced godliness, wide-ranging learning, and humble determination. Devoting himself to the Lord, he became useful to many. There's a painted portrait of Foskett in the Bristol Baptist College. If true to life, it shows a reserved, deliberate, and peaceful face. This matches what others who knew him wrote about his character. And he was who Broadmead needed. He aided Pastor Kittrell and prepared to teach student. In his first year, he was paid £18, 15 shillings, and 3 pence from Terrell's bequest. An early task was to collect the books Terrell and others had left for the school. Foskett had a student gather them together. From various homes, 198 books were found, with 43 missing from the original list written in 1685. As a bibliophile, I find the collection interesting. Included were old Bibles in English, Greek, and Hebrew, and language tools in multiple languages, such as grammars, lexicons, and concordances. So the church had the materials they needed to teach the original languages. The most copies of any book was 34 of the 1689 Confession of Faith. There were also many catechisms from both Anglican and nonconformist sources. Theological classics owned by the library included Luther on Galatians, Calvin's Harmony of the Gospels, and of course his Institutes, Ames's Cases of Conscience, and Perkins on the Ministry. A copy of Nehemiah Cox's On the Covenants was also held, as was Thomas Collier's Distinction of the Two Covenants, books on baptism, arguments against the Quakers, and even medical books, perhaps from Foskett's previous studies, were also in the mix. The training began slowly, with two students the first year. One was Thomas Rogers, who lived locally and was a member at the Pathay Church, but who died the following year. Next was John Phillips, who was tasked with collecting the library. Third was Daniel Garnon, but he didn't come until 1727. All three of these men were originally from Wales, and the Baptist churches there were to supply half of the students during Foskett's time. Terrell's funds supported them all. There were only four students in the first 10 years, but things were to pick up in the next decade. Eventually, almost 70 students were trained under Foskett's leadership. It appears there were other men from Broadmead who weren't officially students in the school, but who still received training in languages, literature, and preaching from Foskett during these years. Some of the graduates went on to illustrious careers in the Baptist ministry and other fields. Benjamin Bedham studied there, as well as Benjamin Francis, a great pastor-preacher, who we will look at later. Graduate John Ash produced an early two-volume English dictionary. Thomas Llewellyn became one of the leading classics scholars of the day and taught men for the ministry in London. Morgan Edwards and John Collett Ryland were students who accomplished much and who I hope we will meet in the future. But most of the men became valued but little-known pastors in Wales and Ireland and England. Well-trained both academically and spiritually, they were confessional and evangelistic, and kept the Welsh and Western Baptist churches sound and vibrant. But Foskett didn't do this work alone. When Pastor Kittrell died, Foskett was called to lead Broadmead, and so needed to find his own assistant. An obvious early choice was Andrew Gifford, the son of Emmanuel and grandson of Andrew of earlier Bristol fame. But he stayed only 2 years before being called to Little Wild Street in London. He was followed by Edward Harrison, but he also didn't last long. When the church confirmed their adherence to the 1689 confession, Harrison admitted that he didn't hold to particular redemption. And so, after several years, he returned to Newbury, where he had early come from. It was then that a man named Hugh Evans was called as Foskett's assistant. As he came to play an important role at Broadmead, we'll learn about his life in a separate episode. Foskett and Evans complemented one another wonderfully, and as Psalm 133 proclaims, "It is in the place where brothers dwell in unity that the Lord has commanded the blessing." Well, what was Foskett like as an instructor? First, he had a wide range of knowledge, constantly expanded by his own study. Hugh Evans writes, quote, "His application to study was constant and severe, and so he acquired very considerable learning. This was passed on to the students as he taught not just biblical subjects, but ethics, logic, philosophy, music, politics, and more." Evans goes on to say that Foskett was not, quote, "the first of tutors." Quote, "His method of education was limited rather than liberal, severe rather than enchanting, employing the memory more than the genius, the reasoning more than the softer powers of the mind," end quote. Now, given my own perception of how the Enlightenment was changing education and not for the better, I'm not sure that Evans' criticism isn't in fact a large unintended compliment. Foskett, though, secondly, did tailor the work for each man. There were some that he believed could handle more strenuous studies, and so he led them into more exacting work. Others he directed into a more literary course, as he judged fit for their abilities. In all of this, he supplied the pastoral heart and informed scholarship that should be the goal of every similar institution. And so the churches reaped the blessings of well-trained pastors. Thank you for listening today. This is Ron the Baptist wishing you grace and peace.